Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing. I got a little preview of the Bechtold breakdown during the break. I'm excited about this. A lot of good topics. We will get into that at 12:30. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits, we went through some schedule talk with Ray Fittipaldo. I had a couple stray thoughts I wanted to tie a bow on and kind of get through this. I disagree with the idea that the Jets game is a bit of a concern. If Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers, which again, I think we have more signs that he's going to than that he's not, at least talking to people who are over there a lot, I think he's going to have a lot to prove. I think he's going to be fresh. I think you're going to see a pretty well-played game. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to hold up for all 17, but I'm chalking that one up as a win. What do you have that on your slate?
Yeah, I have that as a win as well. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would go back to New York and lose to that team. Also, Aaron Glenn, first-year head coach. Their defense is decent. I still question their offense. The Steelers should be able to handle business there.
I'd hope so. Another thing with Ray that we were talking about, and I've just got five stray thoughts. These do not link in any way other than they were what was on my brain before this show. I don't like the Ireland situation. I wish they were leaving earlier. I don't totally understand it. Even the NFL dictating that. I understand there's a tight turnaround. I'm a little surprised they're not using players and team personnel over there more than they are, allowing players to get acclimated. I think the last time when the Steelers went over there felt like they didn't have their legs. That was a perfect opportunity to do things a little bit differently. And the same thing as the bye. We heard Art Rooney talk. I think it was to the team website talking about it was not their desire to have the bye that early. I don't think that sets up well for the Steelers. That's one thing I don't like about the schedule. I also worry if I'm always looking at schedules for potential trap games and limits. I don't know if you circled one, if you have an area. I think you mentioned something earlier, maybe Cleveland. The one for me is Chicago. That looks like a little bit more of a trap game. They have Buffalo the following Sunday. Then they're at Baltimore, at home against Miami, and at Detroit. That's a really tough stretch, obviously. And you go to Chicago, I think you might think you have things in the bag. The Bears are a little bit better than people maybe expect they are. Year two of Caleb Williams. That one worries me. What's the game that worries you the most?
Other than that Cincinnati game that's Thursday Night Football on the road and hopefully the Escaloosa is in full effect again.
Escaloosa! I love it!
I think that Bears game, you're right, sandwiched right in between Cincinnati and Buffalo. I think the Bears will be better. Is this us buying into the offseason hype with Chicago again? Possibly. A lot of people did last year when they drafted Caleb Williams and they got DJ Moore, but that's going to be a solid team. Plus, you had to go into their place, into Soldier Field. That's not going to be an easy game.
I'm pretty pumped for some of the late-season football environments we're going to get to. I mentioned at Baltimore. Obviously, you get that every year. A little pumped for at Ford Field. I mentioned earlier I was hoping that thing would be on Thanksgiving. But you've got a lot of home games. You got some cold weather, traditional football atmospheres. Not going to Tampa, Jacksonville, Miami, something like that. Miami comes here. Man, give me November, December. Give me the cold football weather. I'm in.
Give me two on 30-degree weather on Monday Night Football. He will just freeze up like he did in Kansas City a couple years back.
Yes, sir. Definitely plays into the Steelers' favor. I've got the Steelers winning that one, too.
I would be stunned if the Steelers do not win that game.
Yep. And my last takeaway was only one Thursday night game, and thank God. I hate Thursday night football with a passion. I love it when I'm sitting at home. I hate it when I'm writing about it because then the middle of your week is interrupted, and then you don't have anything to write about or follow from a home team perspective come that Sunday. It's like a double loss week for me. I would rather sit at home, watch somebody else play Thursday night football, and then be ready for the if it bumps to a Monday, I'm okay with that. But I'm not a fan of Thursday night games. So only one. Very thankful for that.
But you're okay with Sunday night football there being two games.
Yeah, I'm okay. Like Sunday night football is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching, you watch the 1 o'clock game, at least for me. I watch the 1 o'clock game here. Then I'm probably, around 4 o'clock going to go hit the casino with Donnie and Cabali for some pregame. You watch the end of those games once you get over to the stadium. You've got everything digested. You only have one game that you don't know about, the Monday night game. Then you're ready to go. No, I love that. I just don't like the Thursday thing. And I don't think there should be any Thursday night games. To me, it's a cash grab, but I understand why the NFL does it. I'm just glad we don't have to logistically deal with that. Hey, something else I wanted to throw out there. I thought Jack Hillgrove did a really good job bringing this up on his show last night. It got me thinking as well. How does this end for Mike Tomlin? And I'm not saying that, this is going to be the end of the Mike Tomlin era. We have no indication of that, and that's not the point of the conversation bit. But we saw Mike Sullivan get a job and then immediately go to the New York Rangers. Do you see Mike Tomlin as doing that, or is he going to be somebody who kind of rides off into the sunset? Maybe he works in football management. Maybe he works behind the scenes. Maybe he goes on TV. Like, whenever he's not the coach of the Steelers, whether that's in 1, 5, 10 years or whatever, what do you think Mike Tomlin does?
I can see him coaching somewhere else.
I can too.
Or he'd be incredible on TV. It would not surprise me if Fox or CBS or NBC offered him a boatload of money to just say, hey, come be one of our top analysts or in-studio hosts. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up being like Bill Cowher over the last 15 or so years.
He would
years.
Be so good on TV,
He
man.
Would.
Oh.
Do you imagine him and Cowher sitting right next to each other?
That would be a thing. Ex-Steelers coaches become TV analysts.
Or when Cowher retires, Tomlin takes his spot.
Ooh. Or what about Tomlin going to Fox? You've got the Steelers coach on CBS, and then Tomlin goes over with Jay Glazer on Fox.
Yeah, him and his buddy Glazer can chat it up. That would be like a weekly segment they'd probably
that
have.
That would be very good, man. Very good. But the point of the Steelers schedule stuff and kind of what I was wrapping this around, I do not agree, and I just want to put a bow on this before we get to another break in the Bechtold breakdown. I want to make sure we have enough time for that. I don't see them going 0-6. Austin does not. It doesn't make any sense to me. You're talking about their first six games at the Jets, at home against the Seahawks, at the Patriots, playing the Vikings in Ireland, at home against the Browns, and then play at the Bengals. I believe that's their first six games, but I do not see it. And then they're going to beat the Packers? No, that doesn't make any sense. I look at what the Steelers have done on offense, on defense. I like the Derek Harmon draft pick. Y.A. Black, I like that. I think that they can be better against the run. Adding D.K. Metcalf, it's going to add some element to the passing game, I would hope. I still think and hope there's another wide receiver available. Hint, hint. Stay tuned for the Bechtold breakdown on that one. I like their running back situation. Caleb Johnson, I think, is going to be able to contribute right away. You've got multiple guys there, whether it's Mason, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I think they're going to have a little bit more of a competent offense. I don't think the offensive line was as bad as it showed late in the season. And I think the defense is going to be pretty good. I like some of the moves they've made on the margins. I think Darius Slay makes a lot of sense. I don't totally see the fit with Malik Harrison, but more depth is never a bad thing. See what happens with Jack Sawyer. Brandon Echols, Juan Thornhill in the secondary. They made some nips and tucks that I don't think the Steelers are altogether in trouble. Again, I'm not saying that the Steelers are ticketed for the AFC Championship game. Certainly not the Super Bowl, like our friend Greg in Youngstown said. But I don't see starting 0-6. I don't see this thing being a complete belly flop.
I don't either. But the only way that it would be injuries derailing it. When you say complete belly flop, you mean like winning 3-4 games?
Yeah, I mean like 4-13. So like, I don't see how 4-13 happens unless they're decimated by injuries.
So what would you call 6-11 or 7-10?
I don't know. A cannonball?
That would get them
a bad cannonball.
Well, that could still get them the 9th, 10th, or 11th pick.
I know.
which I think gives them a lot of leverage for whatever they want to do. Like, let's say hypothetically they want to move down in that instance, a couple of spots. They still could and potentially get a quarterback, considering this is going to be a deeper quarterback class than a year ago.
I like where they would sit if they were 10 or 11, Austin.
I'd be great with it, because then you could move up a couple of picks.
Yeah, you could move up, or if the price was prohibitive, like if you took a guy there, I'd still probably be okay getting a guy in that spot with the depth of this quarterback class.
Consider they moved up from 20 to 10 with Chicago to take Devin Bush.
I know.
And only gave up a second round pick, and they flopped a couple of picks. I would not be surprised if they could go from 10 to like 5 or 6, give up a second, and maybe like this, not one of those thirds that they have, like next year, like a 27 second.
They easily have the capital to maneuver on the draft like that.
They have 12 picks next year.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of people say, well, oh, they have all these picks. Like, do you really expect them to trade like their fourth round compensatory pick? No, it's not excusing them from picking, you know, from giving up a 2027 second round pick, or even if it's a first round pick to move up to 1, 2, or 3, whatever. But the fact that they do have all those compensatory picks, they could use some of them to trade up and also use the other ones that they have to restock the roster, because they have so many of them.
No doubt. No doubt.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Jason, let's dive into a Bechtold breakdown for this Friday, May 16th. The Bechtold breakdown is brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating and our good friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating. I actually saw Jake yesterday at the St. East Carnival. How about that? I ran into Jake.
St. East Carnival.
That was great. So Jake got a little bit of a preview of what was going on in the breakdown today.
Love it.
Which got a little bit sabotaged by breaking news from Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette. Spencer Horwitz will join the Pirates today in Philadelphia. Could be the first chance that we see of the guy that we were talked about that will save the Pirates offense.
There's a lot riding on those shoulders, Austin.
Just a little bit.
A lot.
What are you expecting from Horwitz now that we finally get to see him?
Man, I'm expecting him to see pitches. Anybody who comes out of nowhere and adds some semblance of offense, I feel like it's going to feel gigantic for this team right now. I would hope that you drop him into a spot, maybe fifth, sixth in the order, something like that. It just allows everybody to breathe a little bit easier. I don't know why you wouldn't activate him tonight, honestly, Austin. Just
you probably will
throw him in there and get him going. I realize they don't have to. This would be the 20th day of his rehab assignment. But, man, I'm gap-to-gap power. I don't know, an average in the 270, 280 range and OPS, 750 to 800 would be fantastic.
But where's the power?
Yeah, I mean, gap to gap, doubles. The guy's, what, 13 homers in 112 major league games?
Yeah, that's...
You'd like more.
Especially from a corner position, power position.
I know, but at this point, if I look at the Pirates lineup, that's still an upgrade.
It would be
an
upgrade.
It's a sizable upgrade.
Because they just need somebody that can come in and just hit the baseball. He struggled a little bit in Double-A before ultimately getting called up to Triple-A. I think he hit over 300 in AAA. I got the number in front of me. 323 is what he hit in Indy in 8 games. Horwitz in 5 games in AA actually hit 125. But the higher that he went up, he got better. So maybe he'll hit 400 and be like Tony Gwynn when he gets called up to the major leagues. Do you think that's possible, Jason?
I don't think he's going to be like Tony Gwynn, no. I'm not looking at Spencer Horwitz to beat Tony Quinn. If he can have fully functional limbs and put the ball in play and hit with runners in scoring position and add just a little bit of power, I'm good with that.
So you brought something up. What do you think the corresponding roster move is going to be? Because Valdez is on the 40-man, or was taken off the 40-man roster to go on the 60-day IL. They could send Canario down, or just DFM, I guess, right? He's out of options.
Yeah.
So it's either...
I think that's the move.
Okay,
unless Cruz has to go on the IL.
They would not move off of Jared Triolo. They are so in love with Big Tree that he is not going to AAA.
I agree. That's probably your platoon, Austin. I mean, right-handed bat, left-handed bat. You want Horwitz to hit righties. Hitting lefties, Tree's done a pretty good job. That might be your first base platoon to start. If Horwitz gets hot, you're going to use him a little bit more. I think you got to make a decision on O'Neill Cruz. Like, if he's healthy enough to go tonight, obviously you avoid the IL stint. Any more than that, you can backdate it, and then it gets your roster spot. It might be able to preserve somebody. But, yeah, Canario is the most likely to me. And I don't think they'd cut bait on Tommy Pham yet. Because I think it looks bad to the rest of Major League Baseball.
Are we really we're really concerned with optics?
We are.
With Tommy Pham?
We were
concerned with optics with Rowdy Tellez?
Yep, because you know why, Austin? Because they already have a tough time attracting free agents. You don't want to make it worse. It's not about Tommy Pham.
Worse.
It's about the next guy who might consider signing here, and they see that they cut bait. What has Pham played? 35 games? Something like that? I looked it up before the show. It's not a lot, relatively speaking. I don't think they'd make many friends making that move.
To quote Clark Griswold, worse? How could it get any worse?
I know.
We're at the precipice of hell.
I know. Not good.
What about Jiwon Bae? Why can't Jiwon Bae get sent down?
Well, I agree with you, except they seem to really like Jiwon Bae. I don't understand why. Maybe as a late-game sub, somebody who can play center field in a pinch. It's probably a little bit better defensively than O'Neill Cruz. Donnie Kelly, I want to ask Bob Walk this at 1 o'clock, but we're seeing Donnie Kelly make more moves, manage more aggressively than Derek Shelton has with like pinch runners, hitting behind runners, that sort of thing. I feel like Donnie Kelly might want Jiwon Bae as a chess piece. I'm also
a chess piece.
Well, okay.
Jiwon Bae.
I didn't say he was a queen or a bishop.
He's a pawn in this chess game.
Hey, not all chess pieces are created equal, my friend.
What is he, a pawn that's going to the end of the board and becoming a queen?
I guess. I don't know. Can you do that in chess? A pawn gets to the end of the board, it becomes a queen?
Can it become a queen?
I don't know. I've never done it. That's terrible. I should know this.
Did you ever castle when you play chess?
No.
That's my favorite.
Castle?
What do you mean? You can castle with it's like the king and the rook can castle, where basically you can just reposition the king.
Where you switch them?
Yeah.
Isn't that en passant?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a chess aficionado.
Neither am I. We should know more about it if we're going to draw a chess.
Probably.
Draw a chess metaphor.
Next. Crowley.
Oh, let me make a point on Canario.
Before we
don't
make
you
a point
think
on
it's
Crowley.
Weird that they've given Alexander Canario a really like substantial run of playing time lately? I wonder if that's positioning him for something else or trying to
go
see what's
somewhere
there.
Else to try to find value in him and trade him for a player to be named later or cash or international. My favorite international bonus money.
Yeah, it's not even it's bonus space now. It's not even money.
Oh, not
like,
money.
You don't get the money. You just get the space.
So. What has international bonus money done for them in the past? I'm still waiting for him to debut.
Nothing. Yeah, it's like the player to be named later, TBD.
Yeah.
It's generally not a good thing.
Still hasn't
anyway.
Been named. Crowley set the world on fire on social media today by tweeting, Chris Olave. Now, Pony took it and ran with it. I don't know if he talked to Crowley a little bit more about it, but Pony said, a source has told Adam Crowley that the Steelers are interested in Chris Olave. Whoa! To the point where multiple people like Nick Faribault of Penn Live and Alan Saunders of Steelers Now has said that there have been some preliminary discussions about a trade for Chris Olave, but nothing is imminent. Alan says that it's probably unlikely to happen. So, Jason, Chris Olave, another Ohio State player, which we know the Steelers love. What would you think about Olave to the Steelers as a potential idea?
I've got a pen in hand, Austin. Where do I sign up? That's what I'm looking for.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Is it on the goal line? I don't think it is. I think it might be on the opposite goal line.
Shots fired. It's at the 10. Boy, I'd love it, though. I mean, I'll say this, that if that's an opportunity, if they have the opportunity to add Olave for a reasonable price, I'm in. I like him a lot as a player. I think he fits.
You know, the funny thing is, I make one goal line joke. Pony will throw like four shades at me on the PM team today if he hears that I said that I brought up the goal line joke again.
Well, I brought it up. You didn't bring it up. He can get mad at me.
I think Olave is still a really good wide receiver who's gotten trapped in New Orleans because he's had just putrid quarterback play.
Yep.
Because Derek Carr was hurt last year. Who was there? Spencer Rattler. Some other dude you've never heard of. Now they have Tyler Shuck as their quarterback. He was really good at Ohio State. Ohio State wide receivers typically always produce in the NFL, whether it's Garrett Wilson, especially recently. Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Chris Olave could be that next guy if the Steelers can bring him into their position.
Austin, 28 starts, 39 games. Chris Olave targeted 301 times, 191 receptions, basically 2,600 yards and 10 touchdowns.
He's only 24. He's been productive.
And he's going to be counted upon to be a number two behind DK Metcalf in this offense. Again, I know it's a pipe dream. I'm not saying it's happening, but if it does, I'm in.
1,000 yards his first 2 years.
Yep.
Only 10 total touchdowns in his career, though. Going into year four, still a young guy. His birthday is in June, so he will be 25 for the upcoming season. Happy birthday to Chris Olave. What do you think of Gene Lamont joining the Pirates coaching staff again? He was here, 25 years ago now? Lamont was here before I was born.
Yeah.
And now he returns at the age of 70-plus. I believe he's 76, his official age.
So you know who Gene Lamont is, though?
I do know who Gene Lamont is.
All right. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I like it, and here's why I like it. Because he's a baseball person. Him and Chris Trubey are both joining the coaching staff. And this isn't a shot at Radley Haddad, but I do think the Pirates need to boomerang back the other way a little bit. They've gone really hard in the analytics, and they haven't done a great job applying those analytics to real-world baseball decisions. And I think Gene Lamont might help with that. I think they need to look at the game and understand the game and feel the game a little bit more than they need to compute the game. And I think Gene Lamont helps with that. I've dealt with Gino a few times, various things. I can't say I know him well, but I know him a little bit. And anybody with a veteran sort of experience, and you see a lot of young first-time managers, a lot of times they like to have somebody next to them that just can just kind of look over their shoulder a little bit. And for Donnie, I can see why that's Gene. He would probably want Leland. I don't think Leland would want to put up with the fuss at this point and at his age.
Either.
But, yeah, I like it. I think it's a smart move. I like what they're doing.
Why not bring John Wehner out of the booth to be the bench coach?
It's what I wanted. That was my – I'm not sure why, but I feel like that would have sent a good message to the fan base that – you know, we're not going to put up with certain things that are going on. But you know what? Wehner's lens on the game and a lot of things that he values, it's not all that dissimilar from a Chris Trubey or a Gene Lamont. So I think you're going to get shreds of that. I don't know. Maybe it would be too disruptive for the Sportsnet Pittsburgh and Pirates Radio Network broadcasts. I don't know.
They have a lot of guys that have been cycling in at analysts.
I know. I don't like it. I was rooting for Wehner, man. I think that'd be fantastic.
More airtime for Neil Walker. More airtime for maybe Stephen Brault to go into that role.
Brault's been really good, hasn't he?
Yeah, in studio. Him and McHenry.
Yep, they're great. Oh, how about this? So I have a Saturday Conversations podcast at the Post-Gazette, and this is going to turn into a bit of a promo, but it's not intended to be so. My guest this week, Cole Tucker.
Oh.
Who's doing SiriusXM MLB Network Radio stuff, and he's doing it really, really well.
Really?
And so I have Cole on there. The episode posts to postgazette.com tomorrow. Cole was fantastic, but we talked about those unobstructed views things that Fort and Brault do. I think they're really, really good.
Yes.
And I said to Cole, I'm like, have they been in touch with you about this? He's like, no, I haven't heard anything. I'm like, man, dude, Cole Tucker would be perfect on one of those. Like, get Cole along with Brault and Fort? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with Cole Tucker's radio career or broadcast career right now.
Just started. It's only a couple months old.
He's more famous for who he's married to.
I know.
Cole Tucker than what he did for the Pirates.
Now dad life. He's retired at 28. Gave it up. He's staying home. He wants to stay in baseball. He was a guest instructor for the Angels this year in spring training. And he's doing some broadcast work. He's hosting shows on Sunday morning, kind of a fill-in guy, wherever he can get airtime, and he's just learning and grinding.
He didn't want to pursue baseball anymore.
No. He said, and I asked him that, and he said that he could go try to be the 26th man on a roster, or he could be at home and see his kid grow up. And he chose to be at home and see his kid grow up, but he still wants to stay in the game and, you know, be around it in any way he can. So
has he pursued acting? As
I didn't
side
ask
hustle.
Him that. I don't.
You
I
might,
don't
considering
think.
Who he's married to, you, maybe yeah, it was got, an idea to.
He's got an in.
Considering, yes, she knows a lot of people and is pretty famous in the acting world.
Could probably get him a tryout.
Probably.
Vanessa Hudgens. I know he's playing drums. We talked about that. We always talk about his drumming career. Cole Tucker, big movie guy, too.
Right up his alley, then.
I know.
What anyway. Movie would Cole Tucker be good in? What type of movie? Obviously, a baseball movie would be one that could qualify.
The baseball character who would be best portrayed by Cole Tucker. You know what he would be good in, and he would enjoy me saying this? Little Big League. He's a big Little Big League guy. You're anti-Little Big League, right?
Not anti.
You just don't think it's
not
very good?
Pro anti-Big League, but not anti either.
Okay.
Fox says that this is the first MLB rivalry weekend.
Get out of here.
They tweet,
with this nonsense.
Rivalry weekend is here. Which rivalry are you looking forward to most this weekend? And some of the things that are thrown out there by Fox are a little odd, including saying that the Pirates and Phillies are playing an interleague state rivals game series this week. Interleague state rivals.
What is that? Say that again.
Interleague. State rivals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interleague play to me is the National League against the American League.
Right.
So when did Philadelphia become the American League?
I mean, technically that would be what? Interdivision? Rivalry week? Like that's what that should say?
Should say interstate rivals.
Interstate, that too?
Interleague. They also have the Braves and the Red Sox as interleague rivals.
Oh, the old Braves and Red Sox rivalry.
The huge rivals there.
Don't play that one enough anymore.
They also
I guess because the Boston Braves, is that what they're going for there?
How's that interleague?
I don't know.
And they also
I mean, it is American League versus National League, and it was the Boston Braves and the Atlanta Braves. I don't think there's any animosity there.
Here's the one that I was talking about that I meant. Why is that interleague? Detroit and Toronto, interleague rivals. How is that an interleague matchup between two American League teams?
It's not.
It's not. It doesn't make any sense. Now, they do have the Angels and the Dodgers playing the freeway series. Okay.
Sure.
The Angels or the A's and the Giants is considered an interleague state rival instead of the Battle of the Bay?
Okay.
Why isn't it just called the Battle of the Bay?
That's fair. That's an interleague state rival. I get that. I mean, it should be called the Battle of the Bay.
Right.
That's like calling Nationals Orioles. That's an interleague rivalry, and they'll call that the Battle of the Beltway, and that's okay.
Nationals
You'll
Orioles
You'll have the Subway
playing.
Series, probably Mets and
They're
Yankees,
They're playing
right?
this weekend, too. Same thing with Cleveland and Cincinnati. White Sox, Cubs are also playing.
Okay.
Colorado and Arizona is considered division rivals, according to this graphic by
that's
Fox.
That's all they could get.
Division rivals.
That's all they could muster. I mean, they should have just gone interstate rivals for the Pirates and Phillies. But even that's stupid. There's no rivalry there.
What about Tampa Bay and Miami, the Citrus Series? Is that a rivalry?
Citrus Series, my gosh. Somebody just had to create a social media graphic and to pound all of this into a round hole.
Come up with something.
Yep.
Houston and Texas and the Lone Star Series.
The Lone Star. Let's use
Are they rivals?
No.
What about the Cardinals and the Royals in the I-70 Series?
That's a little bit better. It's a little bit better.
Seattle and San Diego are also playing, and those are your MLB
what
rivalry games. Yes.
Seattle and San Diego?
Seattle
Why?
And San Diego is supposedly a rivalry. Maybe because they both cities both begin with S.
Yeah, and it's both on the western part of the United States.
Both on the West Coast. That might be the extent of that
and
rivalry.
And we ran out of teams.
Legitimately, like... Why can't they just say, yeah, like, this is not really a rivalry, but sure, we'll just play each other against you.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't get it.
All right.
I thought that was fascinating.
I enjoyed that.
Last one for you. I saw a story here that was published in Nittany Sports Now. Drew Aller and Trevor Pena tabbed as a top 10 duo in college football. So Pena is the new wide receiver that transferred from Syracuse. 24/7 Sports has Aller and Pena as the number 9 quarterback wide receiver duo in the entire country. What do you make of that? And I know that you cover Penn State football a little bit, Jason. Mm-hmm. What do you make of their season that's coming up, because there are multiple analysts, whether it be On3, ESPN, that have them as the number one team in the country.
I don't have any problem with it at all, Austin. I've written a column, it was a little bit ago, and it's kind of out of left field, but believing that Penn State could have a legitimate chance at winning a national championship, and I believe it. I don't know if Pena is going to work out. I know that he is going to be better than whatever the heck Penn State had last year around Drew Aller. I think you and I share this opinion. I believe a lot in Drew Aller, maybe an inordinate amount. I think he can be really good. He's somebody I'm looking at. I would not be upset about the Steelers drafting him. I think his development trajectory is going to put him right around where they're picking. He might not be the best quarterback in the draft, but I could see him being one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft. But him and Pena, they really don't have anything else there, right? Like, if you're going to throw the ball, I mean, obviously you're going to have an established running game with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. But who else do they have out wide? Like, if Pena becomes the guy, somebody's gonna put up numbers there.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it. What about you?
I like it a lot, too. And I think Kyren Hudson, Devontae Ross, they've added now three wide receivers.
Yeah, they've hit the portal hard.
They have completely hit the portal very hard. And, I mean, whether it works out is going to be the big question. But if James Franklin can finally win a big game, that is going to be the problem, and Aller has to take a step. Like, I'm a Drew Aller guy. I'm not afraid to say it. A lot of people know that. But I'm not naive to think that he doesn't need to take a huge step forward this year to be able to be the type of guy that NFL draft people think he can be. And if the Steelers are going to have heavy consideration in him next year, he needs to be able to improve in the biggest moments and make the biggest throws. Like, yep. He can avoid the pocket, he can escape, he can make big plays, but he needs to do it against the best teams for me to be completely sold. And I'm not completely sold yet. I am willing to bank on him being able to do that, but I still need to see it.
Yeah, a big part of the reason why I was not sold is his wide receivers just weren't very good last year in the past couple. Like Julian Fleming, they get him from Ohio State. He's supposed to be good. He was not. Who else? Amari Evans never really amounted to much. Help me out. But there's a couple guys there that they had like four last year that they thought were going to be halfway decent. One of the dudes blew up in that West Virginia game, was really good, and then we barely heard anything from him again. So if you've got some guys out wide that can give Drew Aller an opportunity, the arm talent is there, like you're saying. We saw him, College Football Playoff last year, make a couple of really, really good throws. I'm thinking back to that Boise State game. I mean, if he can iron out some of the wrinkles in his game, boy, he can be good.
Yeah, that deep pass to Amari Evans in the end zone was really good.
Yeah, just like I said, Amari Evans isn't that good. So
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.